Well, hello and welcome to Watch What Crappens, the podcast for all that crap we love to talk about on your bruvs. Hello, everybody. I'm Ronnie. That's Ben over there. Hi, Ben.
Hi, Ronnie. How are you?
Ben, you're Brenda Vaccaro.
I know. I like to think of myself as actually having a Shori Agdashlu voice.
Oh, very House of Sand and Fog.
Yes, Beruz from 24. Hi, how's it going? Yeah, I have my New Year's cold still. It has now traveled quietly, or not so quietly, to my chest. But I mean, I feel pretty much okay. It just sounds scarier than it is for anyone who's concerned. But I do have a husky voice today. Perfect for the Kim Richards of it all.
For real. You don't really have to stretch to do a Kim Richards today. Not that you ever do. But yeah, today's Beverly Hills, huh? A lot of trauma happening today on Beverly Hills, guys. There's a lot. There's eating disorders, racism, and family trauma. So thank you for coming to this comedy show. It's going to be great to talk to you guys. Thanks so much for being here, though, seriously. And Beverly Hills, I think, is still having a great season. This episode was pretty good. Crystal, don't want to hear about your brother. Otherwise, loved the episode. Everybody, thanks for being here. Salt Lake City was epic this week. 2.5 hours of
we'll just talk about Salt Lake
nonsense. So go listen to that episode. Super fun. Also, we're doing this. We've got a lot coming up. We've got Girls Trip coming up still. We're going to do the season finale of that. We're going to do Southern Charm. We're going to do Real Housewives of Miami. We've got a new Dwell Hello House Hunters recap up. We've got a new bonus episode up. And all of these regular episodes are videos on Crappens on Demand. So find stuff on Patreon. Go there. You're going to love it. And thank you for being here. We are going to announce the Crappies are coming up in February. Not going to tell you, but they're going to be in LA in February. We'll announce the date, hopefully this week, if we get the go-ahead. We need to do that. And also,
next week, probably.
Something else I was supposed to say. Tickets, I'm talking like setting. Hold on. Let me take a breath before finishing my sentence. Yeah, Crappies. What else was there, Ben? Who cares? Welcome to Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, guys. Ben, how are you doing today other than being chesty?
Well, I'm actually a little sad we're not recording Girls Trip today because I feel like my husky voice would be perfect for Luann and Dorinda, etc. But I'm doing well. I definitely had this moment watching this show, even watching Miami. Miami was really good this week. But like in the wake of Salt Lake City, it's like it should have been just like a snow day on Bravo. Like, sorry, there was a snowstorm. School's canceled.
Life was just like, too good like, yesterday, guys.
It's like Salt Lake City was is just too big. It was too big. It was too epic that you just can't. It's like not fair to the other shows to put them on TV because everyone's going to be like, this is boring. This is stupid. Where's the dramatic reveal? Like, it just like let dedicate this week to Salt Lake City. Don't put any other content on and then bring everything back next week because this show is having a great season. But like you wouldn't like honestly, I was watching last night's episode. And I was like, stupid, boring. Where's the flashbacks? You
know,
where's
the drama? Say, and I'm not just doing this to be contrary. I completely disagree. I started out that way. I was like, you know, this night's going to suck. I mean, how are Beverly Hills and Miami? No one's even going to be posting about these shows. No one wants this, okay? All I want is to see those four ladies on the beach fake crying about Monica. That's all I want to watch. But then it started, and I was dying laughing, mostly because they were having a hot toddy off, where they were staring at each other dramatically and sipping hot toddies at each other. And then Erica uttered this line.
Denise, I already apologized to you at Sasquatch Coffee.
Why? I don't know, but that made me laugh so fucking hard. I've been saying it all morning. I just saw my family this morning, randomly, and was like,
Denise, I already apologized to you at Sasquatch Coffee.
I will never stop saying that. So you know what? Bravo just keeps giving it to us. I don't know. Was it as epic as finding out that somebody's reality Von Teese? No, probably not. But I don't care. I don't need everything to be that epic. Sasquatch Coffee was epic enough for me.
It is, and it's funny. I actually just went to Sasquatch Coffee. It's actually called Coffee for Sasquatch, Erica. But I just went there, so it's so funny that it got like a name check on the show. It's funny, and by saying it's so funny that it got name checked, it's funny to only me. Because who cares that I went there? I've been there, guys.
Beverly Hills.
No, it's just funny because I never go there,
guys. You know what's crazy? I passed by Beverly Hills the other day. Name checked.
No, it was definitely a very entertaining episode. I'm just saying that, like, after Salt Lake City, it just feels like I'm not ready to pivot into any other content but Salt Lake City. I'm still consuming it. In fact, I went over to my friend's house, who they actually started binging the season yesterday, because I think they got hyped after everything. And I went over to drop something off, and they were watching the episode of Salt Lake City and Palm Springs, the one where they got into the fight at the gay bar, where Angie was like, "You look like a trampoline with eyes." And she and, like, Monica get into a fight, as usual. And Angie says on that episode, she's like, Monica's saying something about, like, denying being an assistant for Jen Shah, saying, like, if you're an assistant, you have to actually get paid. And Angie is saying, like, I don't know why she's denying it. It feels like Monica's trying to be someone that she's not. And I was like, oh, these editors have been planting seeds for episodes. Like, it's just so good. Look, I'm not even talking about Beverly Hills. I'm just talking about Salt Lake City again.
Yeah. You know, you call it being just not ready to give it up. I call the attitude you're coming in today with ungrateful. That's how I would describe it. You're just basically being, someone sent you a care package of goodness, and you're like, no, I want yesterday's lunch. I don't want this.
Yeah.
Get this off of
my doorstep. Happen. I mean, have you ever gotten a care package? Is the care package ever the first thing you want to eat? Let's be honest.
Oh, okay. So let's get into this Beverly Hills, which, unfortunately for Ben, is not called Real Housewives of Salt Lake City.
Or Real Housewives of Sasquatch Coffee.
Now, that I would go to Real Housewives of Sasquatch. Just all of Sasquatch's exes. I'm in.
They would be fighting the entire time, because guess what? That coffee shop, it's a lovely coffee shop, and they do great coffee, but all the seating is like cement. It's like a cement bench that's like 90 degree angle. Yeah. It is the most uncomfortable coffee shop.
That is uncomfortable. And you can't just name yourself Sasquatch because of the, it's a hairy animal. What is it? What kind of animal is it?
It's like a Bigfoot.
Yeah, you can't just be like, oh, it's called Sasquatch, so what do you expect? Cushions? Yeah, you know, like, cute name, but you don't get to just go all rustic. Also, can we stop calling things rustic just because you can't chop? Sorry, that's something I saw on the Food Network. They're like, this is rustic. I'm like, that is badly chopped cabbage, okay?
Yeah.
Sasquatch coffee. Rustic.
I mean, it is funny. When people say rustic, it is basically such that, you know, in this episode about microaggressions, that is, like, basically a microaggression against, like, poor people, right? It's like, oh, they're too poor to understand how to chop. So it's, you know, because isn't rustic, like...
Yeah, don't call them, like, poor.
Like, peasants or something.
Yeah. Rustic is like unfinished wood. You know what I mean? Like, oh my God, it's so rustic. Oh my God, are these actual wood floors that aren't polished and could give me a splinter? How rustic? You know?
I'm looking up the definition of rustic to get the see.
Poor.
Relating to the countryside, made in a plain and simple fashion. I love in the countryside, we don't know how to use knives. We can't control our cuts.
It's hard. It's rustic. This is my kid, Rustic. He came out pretty simple.
I'm surprised that there has not been a culture war around the word rustic yet. Like, every time someone says rustic, like, oh, sure, and your ivory towers and your kitchens. Yeah, well, this is the way we like to cook our food.
Hello, so, have you seen Chip and Joanna? That's, like, literally their whole brand. Okay, we are rustic, guys. We're just going to, like, give you a cutting board that's not really as well designed as other cutting boards, but it's rustic, so we have a billion-dollar industry built around us. I blame Chip and Joanna for way too much. Also, guess what else I blame them for? Crystal's brother storyline. Please get it off my TV screen. Yeah. And also, since, you know, you are sad that we're not talking about Real Housewives of New York today, I said just recast Crystal's scene. Just have it.
You know what? I still feel like my brother's mad at me about his relationship. What are you going to do? You know what I mean? Let's show a flashback to, hey, brother, I'm feeling really bad for you and your relationship. Thank you. You know what? You better get the fuck over it, bitch. You better back it up, you whiny little bitch.
Saved.
Anyway.
Crystal season has been saved. Guys, it's like 10:30 in the morning. I don't know why I'm drunk. Okay, let's get started.
Listen.
Man. Stop wasting my time.
So, Chip and Joanna. Chip leads to nacho chips. Nacho chips lead to Taco Tuesday. So, we're back at Taco Tuesday at Crystal's house. And we come back in, we kind of, like, rewind a little bit back to Dorit, who's been in the hot seat because she's just like dropped a few microaggressions towards Garcelle and doesn't seem to understand how or why that's possible. And so to get herself out of the hot seat, she just basically throws the hot potato from the hot seat at the hot taco party with the hot toddies over to Denise. And it's like, by the way, did you ever clear everything up with Erica? And then we have the Denise, we sort of replay the Denise and Erica situation. We sort of get a running start back into the episode.
And normally no one from this cast would purposely catch a potato. I will say that.
No.
But Erica does. She's like, all right, I'll see a potato and raise it in the OnlyFans potato. Your potato shows its titties on OnlyFans. Let's start there. So Erica's like, we haven't. And Dorit's like, well, I'm going to go see my husband who I haven't seen in a very long time. Wow. Is this the first time in life anybody's ever rushed to spend time with PK? Like, how often has that happened?
Well, if you're a band from the 80s who wants to get some airtime, they're like, call up PK, ladies and gentlemen, Berlin.
Oh, if you're a man with a very tall hat and a full face of Sephora, maybe. No, I don't even think Boy George would really rush to see PK, do you?
I don't think Boy George rushes anywhere. He definitely doesn't rush to unlock escorts that are chained to his radiator.
So Dorit pretends that going to see PK is going to be fun. And Erica's like, are you leaving? Give me a hug before you go. Give me a hug. And she goes, bye, sweetheart. We'll talk about this later, okay?
So then Erica turns to Denise. She just knows what's going to come. And she's already over. She goes, so what do you want to talk about? And Denise is like, well, first of all, to insinuate that my daughter, who is 14 years old, would have a threesome, I mean, I think that's beyond. I mean, it's beyond inappropriate. I mean, you're shaking your head, Erica. Why are you shaking your head? Or is it just that you're shaking and I'm shaking my head? Who's shaking their head right now?
I'm shaking my head to the rhythm of the song in my head because I'm from Broadway. I'm a Broadway actress, and that's how we keep the rhythm. Now, this is not what this was about. What I was saying is children these days, if they have a phone, they have access to everything. Of course they know about sex. Of course they know. Yeah,
this is about my kids. This is about my kids, though. Okay, it's my kids that you're talking about.
Your kids especially, Denise. Your kids are from Charlie Sheen. Come on. Like, who are we kidding here? Here's the thing. And we said this because it's the same scene as happened last time. But Denise has a point. Erica was an asshole to Denise all season long. Denise just can't seem to remember anything else to bring up.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think she herself watched because she would have come up with plenty of reasons to come for Erica. But this one was not it. And Erica even apologized to you at Sasquatch Coffee. And we'll find out in a couple of lines.
Coffee for Sasquatch. Yeah. On a uncomfortable concrete bench. So Erica's like, okay, well, your oldest daughter's on OnlyFans. She doesn't know. You know what? That's a fucking low blow, okay, to bring up my daughter's OnlyFans right now. And by the way, I feel like this, my chest cold, it's really working for my Denise Richards. I'm really enjoying
it. Yeah, fucking low blow.
Yeah,
please don't say blow when we're talking about your daughter on OnlyFans. Like, this conversation is inappropriate enough. And Erica's like, what do you think I was going to do? Come here and not mention the OnlyFans after you called me a bitch in the Cut Fitness? Do you really think I was going to play last with you? Did you really think I was gonna come in here? You had it coming. You had it coming. Y'all had self to blame. Hi, Mom.
You're a mean Mom's singing body. Woman.
It's like, you suck! Get off the stage, Erica.
Well, you asked for it. No, I did not. No, I did not.
Well, then you should have come up to her house. You shouldn't have come up into her house acting like a fucking bitch, and then I wouldn't even be here.
But you shouldn't have acted like a fucking bitch.
Well, 4 years ago and nobody remembers?
This is when Erica says,
well, I think it's great. No, Denise. Who's more profitable on OnlyFans? You or your daughter?
You're unbelievable. That's what you are, Ina. You are like Big Pharma. Unbelievable what you will do.
So this is where they have the hot toddy off. Denise is like, you are unbelievable. And Erica's like, I'm having a hot toddy. And then Denise is like, I'm having a hot toddy. And we had a hot toddy off.
Mm-hmm. So then Kyle is like, well, I guess Lent is over. And then we see that clip of Erica being like, I'm giving up fighting for Lent. So Denise's like, you know, I didn't want to fight, okay? Neither did I. Well, why? Garcelle's like, oh, well, what do you want from her then?
So Denise's like, I want an apology for the way that you talked about my children being threesomes. I don't really know what I'm talking. This drink is very hot. Is there any ice for this drink? And Erica's like, here's what happened. We were talking at a table. So she goes over the thing. They were at the table at the pizza party in the backyard. Denise was saying, well, my husband's got a big dick. And then they, you know, it was a very sexy talk. And then Denise pulled over Erica for a lunch saying, Sydney heard us talking and she heard threesomes. And now she's scandalized and might one day be selling nudes on the internet to truck drivers or whatever.
Right. And basically, Erica's like, you were talking about your husband's dick five minutes before I mentioned the threesome thing. And Denise is like, I did not talk about Aaron's dick. And she's like, well, Denise, I'm right. Anyways, no, you're not right. I am right. No, I am right.
Now, here's where the hot toddies did a lot of work, because they were giving us everything we needed in the scene, because the dialogue was lacking. I'm just going to say, everyone who says that Housewives is pre-written, this is like proof that it's not.
You liar. You, nuh-uh. Uh-huh. Two times, nuh-uh. Oh, yeah, well, with a lukewarm toddy. How about that? Yeah, my toddy's hotter than yours.
Sparkling dialogue. Oscar Wilde revisits.
It did go back. Went several beats longer than I expected. The I'm right. No, I'm right. I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right. No, I'm right.
So then they go over the lunch that they had all those years ago. And so this is when Erica's like,
Denise, I apologize at Sasquatch Coffee. I said, you know what? I'm very sorry. I wouldn't have done that.
And Denise's like, you were the one who brought it up. I wasn't the one who brought it up. And at this point, Denise doesn't remember the scene, because Erica's actually correct. And it's very rare, I think, to get Erica so correct in the scene. Or at least let me say, it's very rare for me to agree with Erica so strongly that it's made me uncomfortable. And I really like Denise and I feel for her. And I just feel that somebody needs to put their hand over her mouth and just like cover her face with their purse and be like, we are in a grocery store.
You know? It's just at that moment where someone has to say, can we just pull up the scene on our phone? I know we shouldn't be watching our own show while we're filming the show, but we just have to settle this because it's all on camera. It's there. It's like, yeah, it's accessible. The evidence is there. Sarah's like, listen, Denise, I have nothing left for you. You can think whatever you want of me. You can feel whatever you, however you want. I have nothing left to say. And then they just stare at each other, drinking their hot toddies,
yep,
for a very long time.
Yep, swig matching. And so Erica says, I didn't want this fight. And she's like, yeah, you needed it to get off all the other shit that you're going through in your life. She goes, what? We've never
avoided or deflected anything about my life, Denise. This is what Erica gets very straight-backed.
Where she like sits like that and points her head down.
It's just us talking like that.
I have never deflected anything that has happened. Now, if you excuse me, I have to go tend to something. Seems like my accountant has driven off the road in Pasadena and swirled five times because there was a snowstorm / thunderstorm and went tumbled down the mountainside and got to go save him. So anyway, while you talk about deflecting, I'm going to go help him out.
I have never deflected a thing. When the burglars broke in and Tom was there and he confronted the burglars.
I'm saying, okay, okay. Really? And you're the one that claims you didn't know $20 million was deposited in your fucking account, Erica? Just,
wait a minute, it actually wasn't, and the government has proven that. They've proven it.
Jesus. Oh, wow. And then they just stare. And then Kim is just like, so delighted not to be the one in the awkward fight right at the moment. She's just sort of this like back and forth look. She's like a puppet. Like she has like puppet rotation. You know, when puppets look left to right, they have a different rotation the way humans do. And she's just going, That's right. She's just like, okay, I'm gonna excuse myself.
Yeah. Kim's loving this, you know. Kim's not even looking around for a trash can to pray to. She's like totally fine right now. This has given Kim life. And so Erica's like, oh, okay, just excuse yourself. I don't blame you. Bye, honey. It was good to see you. And I love you, Kim. I love you. And so she's going, and Denise is still trying it. She's like, you have below the belt. You do. It's like, okay, now we're below the belt. Let's get off the OnlyFans fight. You know what I mean? You know what you are? A boob. You're a boob. That's what you are. You know, just stop trying to give me a hand job and just tell me the truth already. Jesus.
Oh, Denise, fuck off. I've had it. You know what? You had your chance a week ago and you failed. And you failed again tonight. And that's it. Conversation over. Bye.
Erica's like,
don't cuss me when you're on OnlyFans for $7. Just don't.
Which I'm not really sure what the shaming there is, if it's really an OnlyFans shame, because I don't know that Erica is really in the place to OnlyFans shame. I mean, she has songs called like Pat the Puss. She married Tom. She's, you know, she's Erica in general. Like, you don't get to just slut shame someone. But at this point, I'm just like, is she sales shaming somebody?
Yeah, I think that she doesn't respect Denise for marking herself down so much.
Yeah.
I think that she wants Denise to be at a more premium tier.
Yeah, at that point, Erica hadn't started selling tickets for like $7 for her biggest show yet. So I guess at this point, she wasn't a hypocrite. But we got there.
So Erica goes into the other room where all the non-housewives have been cordoned off to. They're all just sitting around a table because the producers are like, you have to get out of the scene. And so Erica goes in there. And then Kyle... because Kyle is actually still here. She's like, I mean, it really should be that, like, family and children are off limits and, like, it remains between all of us. And Garcelle's like, oh, Kyle, why didn't you just say that to her? Right? Like, she just said that. Why didn't you say that to her when she said it? Which I'm so glad Garcelle said that, because, of course, it's Kyle who, like, you know, pushes back on Erica after Erica has left the room.
Yeah.
Like, won't actually say anything to her face.
Yeah, of course. Kyle's not stupid.
It's time for a commercial. It's time for a Crappens commercial.
So, yeah, Garcelle calls her out, and Denise is like, yeah, why didn't you step in and say shit? Yeah, why didn't you step in? And Kyle's like, oh my God, I was letting you guys talk it out. Like, why didn't anybody stand up for me the other night? Why didn't anybody say it? That's not cool, guys. That's not cool, Kyle. Remember when everybody was coming for me and saying my husband was cheating? Like, Kyle, no one cares about your husband fucking cheating. The rumor has been that your husband's been cheating for years. Nobody cares. Stop trying to make it a thing. It's like, why didn't anybody stand up for me at that dinner when I yelled and screamed until somebody lightly insinuated that I got apology jewelry from my husband?
Kyle, like, read between the lines. Why did no one defend you? Because everyone is asking the same question and everyone thinks something is up. That's why no one defended you. The whole point is, what Garcelle is saying is, if you feel a certain sort of way, but you don't speak up and say it at that moment, then you're kind of being cowardly. So it's not that people were being cowardly and not defending you. They were making their stance.
Asking you in the first place.
They were taking their stance, and you were not taking your stance when you had the chance to just now.
Yeah, you know, also don't wave your finger around at everybody. And then, like, she's trying so hard. It's like, oh my God, look, everybody. Look, what do you mean you notice my ring on my wedding finger is different than my gigantic diamond that I'm usually flashing in your face? What? What do you mean? What do you mean that the Tiffany promise ring I've been flashing in front of the paparazzi that I've called myself? Did you see that stuff in the news? The Bravo news, the internet. So Shawn Madea, the bitchiest housewife of all time, started
PBS News Hour.
Say it again.
PBS News Hour. Judy Woodruff.
Yes, the Lara News Hour. That Kyle got caught calling the paparazzi on herself. Like, supposedly somewhere in Aspen, a reporter was heard saying, like, oh yeah, Kyle's always calling us. Why do you think we're in fucking Aspen taking pictures of Kyle? Like, it's full of celebrities. Nobody else gets their picture taken here but Kyle every day. Do you think that's an accident? By the way, that's not a quote. I just saw it on Up and Adam Live. Hi, Adam. Ding.
Hi, Adam. Either way, I just love the way Kyle so swiftly tries to center her scandal back into the scene.
Yeah.
And it just sort of doesn't work. So yeah, so Kyle's doing this whole thing. Like, where was everyone when I needed them? I mean, are you kidding me? You want to, like, where is everyone? No one, not one person said, that's so weird to sit there and say, oh, she has a new period. So truly, it must be that her new husband bought her because she cheated. Not, that's not cool, guys. Not a fucking thing. No one said it. It's like, okay, Kyle, because it is weird. We all feel that way. Sorry, Kyle. Sorry.
Kyle, and how many times this episode, the typical Kyle, mean, it's just mean. It is so mean, you guys. It is just mean. So
it's like, Kyle, you don't. You don't, it's like, fine. You want people to stand up for you with the whole thing with the ring, and now you're like, well, apparently it's every man for themselves, but it doesn't explain the past 7 seasons when you didn't say anything to the people who were being offensive.
Kyle's never stood up for anybody. That's the whole point. That's why your sisters don't talk to you, by the way, which is the plot today, okay? You got one sister back finally talking to you and another one not talking to you because you didn't stand up for her all year. But let's cry about it for another hour. So, by the way, this is not to say that Kathy's not fucking insane, okay? Before anybody's like, have you seen Paris in Love? No, but we told you last season that Kathy was insane anyway, okay? I don't need to watch that show to know that Kathy's insane. But 2 things can be true, okay? One person can be insane and another person can be an asshole, you see? Or they could be insane and an asshole, like me.
Well, we'll get to it all. So then anyway, Kyle is having her moment or whatever. And then Garcelle's like, you know what? Fuck this place. So she gets up and she leaves. And then, everyone's basically like, we're all going to leave because this is over. And so, everyone leaves. And then as Sutton gets into her car, Kyle's like, hey, Sutton, don't make out with your driver. She's like, I will kill you.
I will murder you. So Denise's like, maybe I'll do Taco Tuesday next time, all right? We can talk about my kids and gangbangs. What the hell? Thanks a lot for having me. Jeez. So Crystal's like, you know, I really thought Erica had changed. But seeing her like talk like this, the old Erica has come back. No one changes that quickly, okay? People don't change. Stop expecting people to change.
Yeah.
It doesn't happen.
So now we see everyone at home doing different things. We see Sutton talking to her fish named Avi Jr., and she's just talking to the fish. But she keeps on calling the fish people, which I think is funny. She's like, now, hey, you little people aren't getting fed, just the big fish. What have you little people done to him? And what are y'all going to do? Wow. I like that her fish tank is basically a metaphor for the cast. Like, the little fish just are not going to get fed. Like, you've got to be a big fish in this tank.
She just drops $300,000 worth of food to the big fish every once in a while. So Erica goes and says bye to whoever, to Crystal. And she's like, I'm sorry, I really did it. Bye. And Crystal's like, she just can't say stuff like that. You cannot attack people's children. It's too far. So later, let's see. Everyone is back home. Sutton's talking to her fish. Sorry, Ben. I got lost in my notes. I know that you tried to get past that.
Go back to the taco party.
Listen, I'm sorry. You know what? Sometimes I make mistakes. That's it. I'm sorry about it. So Kyle and Portia go home. Wow, that was Portia? She's really grown up. I was like, who was that?
Yes.
It was Portia.
Who was that?
I was like, which one is that?
I like Kyle walking into her foyer with all those big dogs and then also a big fake dog, too, like that fake Dalmatian thing. It's just too much. And basically, Portia wants dinner, and she's like, what are you making for dinner, mummy? And Kyle's like, I'm going to make something. Remember when Kyle was trying to push the agenda that she was, like, a great cook?
Yeah.
Remember when she burnt all that salmon? Whatever happened to that?
That's what I wrote. You're not making salmon tonight, Kyle?
No fish you can char.
You want to talk about rustic? Kyle's salmon cookbook. Every recipe is just burnt salmon.
Yeah. We also have Garcelle FaceTiming Jade, and like Ashlyn's next to him, and she's like, no kissing. Where's your father? By the way, well, at the end of the taco party, we then had a, you know, coming up next, and coming up next was Garcelle FaceTiming Jade about Ashlyn. Listen, Beverly Hills, you got to work on your teasers. This is not what's going to make us come back after the commercial break. This scene was, you know, confined to just like a quick cut as part of a montage. But like, I think we can put like the Jade and Ashlyn romance storyline. We could put it in the same bin with what's her face's brother, Crystal's brother.
Oh no, he's way better because at least he's a drama queen. That guy. I think that they should have led off with Portia wanting dinner and then just walking upstairs. I like that. I think that would get me to tune in. You guys, Portia's hungry.
I can only imagine what dinner Kyle makes for Portia. And I feel like it's just got to be
like
so sad.
It's like a fruit roll-up.
I feel like it's just like a chicken breast with like steamed broccoli.
We're so hateful. Kyle really didn't even do anything. We're like, fuck her and her stupid, terrible dinner. Okay, so Erica goes to Dorit's house. And Dorit's like, Phoenix, should I wear these Chanel hoops or my studs, my diamond studs? And Phoenix like, diamond studs all the way, mama. So Erica comes over and they talk about how little Phoenix can do a model walk now. And she's like, oh yeah, go get me a regular Coke and do a model walk. With the Coke, like normal models do. Get out of it. Wait a minute, that's a little bit inappropriate. Just charge more than $8 when your time comes. All right, Tuts?
So Dorit's like, thank you so much for coming, my love bug. What's going on? What happened after I left? And Erica's like, girl, you know, the Denise of it all. And Dorit's like, oh God, Denise, what was she saying? So Erica's like, oh, she was all, you know what you did to my daughters and what you did to my, you know, what you said about my children. And I'm, you know, I'm thinking you're mad about something from 4 years ago. You know what? You know, and then she does the whole, you know what it is. By the way, when Erica impersonated Denise, that was the funniest thing ever. I need Erica to impersonate Denise way more.
And Dorit's cracking up when they get to the OnlyFans part. She's like, Dorit's laugh. Have you recognized that laugh? Like, have you recognized where it's from? Because I keep forgetting to tell you who it sounds exactly like, but I'm afraid that you're never going to unhear it once I tell you, because it's so groundbreaking. She laughs
Boutros,
like both.
Boutros Ghali.
Say it again.
Boutros Ghali. She's a child of the world.
Thank you. I can laugh in any language I want when I've got frequent flyer miles. She laughs like Betty and Wilma from the Flintstones at the same time. You know how they have that little laugh? Like,
you know, I am not fully up to date on my, Betty and Wilma laughs. It's been like a moment. Wow. Yeah.
You know why it stuck in my head? Not I know only exactly because why. I love the Flintstones. Why? You tell me why.
Because of Southern Charm this week.
Because what?
Because of Southern Charm this week.
No, but they did mention that in Southern Charm, which you're correct, which spoiler alert, you guys will have to see way, later this week.
We won't explain why the Flintstones get mentioned, but there are two Flintstones mentions on Southern Charm.
It's because when the movie The Flintstones came out, which I know everybody remembers because it's super current reference.
Elizabeth Perkins, right?
And Rosie O'Donnell. They were Betty and Wilma. Of course. And, or Wilma and Betty, respectively. And they did the laugh of Wilma and Betty, and I died. I was like, that is the most perfect shit I've ever heard. Like, that's the best imitation I've ever heard. And I've heard some good imitations, not on this show, but generally, they're very good. Would you look up Betty and Wilma laughing? Come on.
All right. Let me pull it up on YouTube.
Yeah, just
let's do this, because now everyone wants to know. Okay, Betty and Wilma giggle. It comes up. By the way, did you see that some kid broke Tetris? Okay, here we go.
No.
Well, I see both the giggle, the Rosie O'Donnell giggles, and I see the real ones.
Do them both. Yeah, do them both.
Well, here's one that says, Wilma and Betty set up a picnic. Is that?
I don't know.
Judo chop.
It was all the time they laughed.
I don't know. Okay, here.
Do you think the mighty hunters will bring anything back?
They'll be lucky to get back in time for lunch.
I knew it. The camper's best friend, the mosquito.
I can't stand them.
That's why I like the beach.
Your play.
Jen.
It's just a mosquito going nuts.
Here he comes. Yeah, I know.
Is this so crazy out of context?
Yes.
Holy mackerel.
Are they even going to laugh? Where's the giggles?
I hope they get back.
I don't know. I'm waiting. I'm watching this mosquito attack them.
How cold can cold cuts get?
I don't think there's any giggle.
Okay, try the Rosie O'Donnell one. You actually got it down kind of yourself.
Okay, here's them.
Maybe it won't be such a big adjustment after all.
That's
if Brett scores the highest on that test, I'll have to hire someone to revive me.
I've never seen.
Okay,
that is Dorit's line.
Your point. You are totally validated.
Thank you.
It took a while to get there.
I apologize to you and to the audience. I get that I'm kind of wasting your time, but come on, you guys. That was totally it.
It was great. I haven't watched the Flintstones in forever. And I feel like, yes, but I feel like now watching it as an out gay man, I feel like I'll probably enjoy Betty and Wilma in a whole different way.
Yeah, Betty and Wilma, I mean, are amazing. But the movie's terrible. But God, that laugh. I mean, great job.
Oh, no, I was talking about the actual Flintstones TV show.
Oh, yeah.
Not the movie.
That one's still great. And the Jetsons, still great. Okay.
Oh, yeah, I love the Jetsons.
Gunsmoke didn't age as well. Okay, just kidding, guys. It's not for my time. Mm-hmm. Let's talk about more things.
Commercials. Here comes one right now.
So Dorit has a Betty and Wilma laugh. I love it. I think that's a great theory. And I'm sure we will create a supercut to demonstrate that soon enough. And then...
people can't let it go. They're like, oh my God, I hope they talk about Betty and Wilma more. Okay, so then we cut
over. We like making current references.
Erica's like, well, I want to ask you this, Dorit. Because I walked in at the end. What were you and Garcelle talking about that you guys got so hated over? She knows. Hmm. Why is she acting like she didn't hear it? She was the one who yelled, you don't say that to a black woman. Like, you know what it is, Erica. So then we cut to Garcelle FaceTiming Sutton. And Sutton's like, yeah, you know, I'm a very emotional person. What I just told big person is don't share your food with the little people. And when I walked away from that little glass city, I felt guilty. I did. I have emotions.
So Garcelle's saying that basically she was really messed up after that whole interaction. And she cried herself to sleep and she woke up and still felt shitty. And the word attack, you know, she like reminds us all that like attack, you know, it's like a very loaded term when it's coming from like a white person to a black person. And she's like, you know, I didn't lunge at her. I didn't grab her. I didn't do anything that's considered attacking. And she just doesn't get me. She doesn't know my world. She doesn't care to know my world. She's in her own world. She's in her own bubble. And there's rainbows and unicorns everywhere. And I mean, if like, cause Sutton's like, I mean, I think the word attack when we're getting in heated conversations, I mean, kind of go to that angry black woman place. I'm like, look, if Sutton can figure this out, Dorit, you really got to catch up.
Yeah. And then we go back to the Dorit's house and Dorit's like, well, I just feel like I need a few days, you know, because I just need to process everything. You know what I'm saying? Because when I used the word a tick, I did not mean to have any type of connotation that would trigger or offend Garcelle. Now, I feel like I need to get a grasp on how best to talk about this after I've been screamed at and yelled at and beaten shot and beaten the street by Garcelle.
After she essentially put her hands around my neck and tried to choke me to death.
I mean, Dorit, talk about never being able to learn a fucking lesson. Dorit went on her Instagram and posted, what was the picture she posted?
It was like a bubble.
Yeah, it's a t-shirt. She's wearing a sweatshirt. Bubble. Doesn't it say like, what does her sweatshirt say?
It said something like proudly in my bubble. It was like a little bit like, then it's like, no.
Oh, Dorit in my bubble sweatshirt.
Oh, wait, you know what? Did it say... Okay, you know what? Did it say bubble or did it say...
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday.
I think it said Boboli.
But yes, her she made some Instagram posts like, proudly in me bubble. Which, like, God, Dorit, like, you're going to really stick to this. Guys, listening is free. it doesn't cost you anything to just say, sorry. And how did I offend you? You know? And then of course there's the argument, like, I don't want to have to educate you. And there is one school of thinking that's like, well, if you want me to talk to you a certain way, you have to tell me how to do it. But then on the other hand, you've already been told this 9 million times. Like,
but here's the thing.
Why is it anybody else's responsibility to explain to you that we're in 2023 at this time?
23.
And you should fucking know better at this point. Like, come on.
It's not that hard. Like, open your eyes and ears. You could like figure this stuff out. You know, I like to think like that Dorit is like a semi-intelligent person, and like I think a semi-intelligent person could just like watch the news or read a column in a newspaper or just like really read a few comments on Instagram. It's really honestly, all it takes. And it's like, and it's just the easiest thing to do is just to learn. And to just like adapt. And she's so concerned. I was going to talk about this later, but I'll just say it now since we're riling each other up. But like, she's so concerned that she is, that when Garcelle says, you know, you're using a microaggression that has racist undertones. She's so concerned that this makes Dorit look like, Dorit is concerned that it makes her look like a racist. She's concerned, like, those are big accusations. And what, you know, when you say that, you're basically saying, I'm concerned that my legacy on this show and in life and in pop culture is that I'm a racist. Well, you know, a way to not have that legacy is that when Garcelle says this to you, you say, I'm so sorry. I should have known better. I like to think I do know better, but I clearly had a lapse and I didn't mean to trigger you. You know, I got caught up in the moment. I just said the word attack because we use it a lot in this group, but I, you know, I have to remember that you can't be careless with your words. And, you know, I'm really sorry I hurt you and I'm just going to do better. And then people will say, this is someone who's trying to grow. They won't say this is someone who's racist, but when you're someone who sits there and goes, oh, well, you have to think about me in this situation. This is a big accusation that you're saying about me. And like, I don't know, like I have to be able to defend myself. More people are going to think you're racist from that. Then they will. Then if you just said, oh, my bad, I'm so sorry, thank you for putting this on my radar. I should have already had it on my radar, and I swear I will do better.
Well, yeah. Well, we've all been told, you know what I mean? Like, we've all been, I've been told. But the point is just learn. For fuck's sake, like, how many times do you need to be told the same thing, okay? Things change.
I know.
Language, you know what, changes. And
you know what I always say?
It does matter.
People, you know what? This is what I always say. If someone goes to college and then goes off and becomes a doctor and their name goes from Mr. Karam to Dr. Karam, guess what? We as a society are all pretty chill about saying, oh, now I have to call him Dr. Karam. You know, now normally I say this in regards to when people talk about pronouns, they do the whole bullshit about pronouns, their whole spiel. But like, the point is that people are adaptable. And if you want to be, and you're open to being adaptable, then you will be adaptable. It's not that hard just to change, and it's just words. It's not that hard to change your words.
Yeah.
You know, when the context demands it. It's really not.
Well, apparently it is, because it's been a long time. Dorit's having a pretty hard time with that one. So then let's see. So Garcelle's like,
and by the way, you're welcome. I just made you a doctor, Ronnie.
I was just like, that's such a horrifying thought, I think, to everybody who heard that, that people probably just turned this podcast off. Wow. Ronnie in charge of lives. So
it could be a PhD.
Dorit is like, you know, it's just like, I feel like the last few years with me and Garcelle, we've made steps forward. And then I feel like I'm in the blind side again. I was so good to that boy. And then he sued me for no real. All right. Wait a minute. That's a Sandra Bullock movie. Okay, now you're just looking for reasons. You're just looking for ways to spew microaggressions on people, Dorit. Come on, man.
Listen, I don't think Dorit is a malicious person. She's just very, very dumb. And when Dorit knows better, she does better. But she never knows better. She never knows nothing, unfortunately. Anyway, what were we talking about?
literally Dorit does never know better, and she never does do better. And, you know, that's Dorit. And in other respects, it can be kind of fun, but not this one. This is not a fun angle of Dorit. And so Erica's just basically...
By the way, also, I feel like this also kind of gets the crux of the whole issue here, which is that here Dorit is being insensitive, like she lobs a microaggression. And now you have Erica being like, no, guys, she's actually like really nice. And this is like not who she is. Like, look deeper into her. And the whole issue is the reason why that microaggression even exists is that people are unwilling to look more deeply often at a Black woman. And, you know, like the angry Black woman stereotype is out there, and it's like, oh, well, she's just an angry Black woman. And the whole thing is that, like, oh, someone just gets disregarded completely because we've now put this word, associated this word with this person. Now we know what this person's all about, and now we disregard them. And so here Dorit has actually the privilege of someone saying, no, she's more than that. And I imagine, by the way, because obviously I am not a Black woman, so, you know, I could be speaking out of pocket here, and I'm trying not to be. But, like, I imagine one of the frustrations that Garcelle has probably faced is that, like, she probably has multiple times had people just be like, oh, well, she's, you know, she's so angry, she's so aggressive. And there is not someone to say, no, look deeper into her, because she is actually very lovely.
Well, yeah, I mean, it does, but I mean, you shouldn't even have to say that. I mean, the whole thing is like,
Yeah, but you know what? The reason why I say it is because there are tons of Dorits out there.
No,
and so when we say like, it's not like, I would feel kind of bad.
Like, don't assume that somebody's just always in the angriest place. You know, that's where Dorit always jumps to, and that's why it's a problem. The first season, it was like, oh, you're just being a bully right now. You're giving me a little bully. She didn't even do anything. She was having a normal fucking conversation with you, you know? Every time Garcelle disagrees with Dorit, it's not just like, I disagree with you. It's like, why are you attacking me? Why are you being a bully? Yes. Why am I walking away from here with a black eye on the... It's like, oh my God, Dorit, call the fucking police, you know what I mean? Like, at this point, we shouldn't have to explain what a fucking microaggression is, you know? God, yeah. Great. So
I hope I articulated that all correctly. And of course, please, if I misspoke or overstepped.
I didn't feel like please, you did. Please. I didn't mean to give you that impersonation.
No, but I want our listeners to know. I don't want to be this person. I don't want to be like this white guy who's just like, now let me tell you all about what Black women are going through.
Yeah, let's white-splain. Let's white-splain.
Yeah, I don't want to be that. I'm just saying, like, this is what ran through my head when I watched this. But I'm like, obviously, you know, like...
Well, sometimes the thing with these shows is like things that should be so obvious. Sometimes I just think, well, that's just obvious, you know, but it's obviously not, because Dorits still exist, you know, and just don't listen. So anyway, so then we move on to Sutton talking with her assistant, because I got to meet that. What's that girl's name? That girl who's coming over here. Okay. That's also like Sutton. You don't know Alessandra's name. Even I know Alessandra's name. Like, can we get some matchmaker respect? I mean, it's like a much smaller thing, obviously. But please, Sutton, for Christ's sake, give Alessandra some fucking respect. So then Alessandra, I don't know how you forget this woman's name. I'm still terrified of her. When she's off my screen for a week, I'm still terrified. I go to sleep and this is what I think of. Sutton! Sutton!
Oh my God, we're wearing the same color! Oh my God!
Sutton! Oh my God! I've got the best news for you. I heard from the guy you went on a date with. Sutton, have a seat. We're gonna go over at Sutton. Like, can this girl, someone buy this girl a tea? Like, do they don't even sell those on Wheel of Fortune. They're free, Alessandra. Take the tea. Sutton!
So she comes over and I watched Beverly Hills this morning. I woke up and I watched it, and you know, here I am languishing with my illness, and I was like, I cannot deal with this woman before 9 a.m. This is too much. I can't. Maybe that contributed to my whole thing of like, don't air anything after Salt Lake City, because I just could not do it. So she walks in and she's like, oh, we're pink.
Sutton.
Oh my God.
We did a questionnaire
And it's where things went right, maybe kind of right, maybe not right with your day. You want to hear him? Sit down, Sutton. And someone's like, oh, hey, this woman. Like, Sutton is just looking at her like, I want you to try. She's like, please bye. Please.
So Alessandra's like, so tell me, how did your day go with Sal? And Sutton's like, well, it started off slowly, but, you know, it loosened up and we talked about his mother. And then we see a montage of Sal being like, well, funny story. My mom the other day, she came over and washed my back. You know, my mom got a flat tire and she threw it in my head. Another story. You know what's funny? Well, I went to Vegas with my mom. We went to a strip club and then we went to another strip club. It was wild. My mom's crazy. I love my mom.
And she's like, well, what did he say about me? Damn. She's like, oh my God. Okay. Did they make me laugh? Okay. It says, no, she didn't come across as an individual who makes a lot of jokes. Isn't that funny? Sounds like, well, I didn't see the funny side of Sal. Okay.
Son, you are hilarious. Okay. So having just read Sal's feedback, my guess would be he probably thought you weren't that into him. So I want to work on giving indicators of interest to the next man that you're going to meet. Like, step one, are you comfortable giving a compliment? I'm like, lady, have you watched this show? That is not Sun's
fault. But also, he probably thought you weren't into him because she wasn't. So why would you need to give indicators of interest to somebody that you're not interested in, Alessandra?
Exactly.
That's crazy behavior. This lady's nuts. And Sutton hates her. And she goes, so what would be a compliment? What kind of thing is that to say? What do you have in mind? And she's like, well, like saying like what? I like your belt. Oh my God, that's such a good one. Sutton. Bing, 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 bing,
bing. Where did you pull that out from? She's like, no, it's not. Belts are close to the genitalia area. Oh my God, no. So then Sutton's like, she's like, you know, men are flattered by anything. I mean, you could tell them that you like their ears and they'd probably be flattered. I mean, men are like big babies that walk around the earth. And I cracked up because I was like, that is kind of the perfect like summation of what men are. We're just big babies that walk around the earth.
Yeah.
Because honestly, if someone said they liked my ears, I'd be like, thank you. I am flattered.
Me too. I would never forget that person.
Ever.
I would put that person ever. In my will. I was just thinking the other day, God, ears are ugly. And why are these I wear these like headphones that clip around my ear. I'm like, are these giving me Dumbo ears? I feel like my ears are just getting bigger and they're getting like floppier because of these stupid things. I'm going to sue Amazon for even selling me these things when they've ruined my ears. And then we get to this part about the ears and I'm like, I would love for somebody to talk about how hot my ears are.
Just so good. Men are like big babies that walk around the earth.
Okay, I love it. So based on all the feedback from last time, I have this client. He's a bachelor S. He's a VP of sales.
And Sutton's like, well, he's cute, but I don't know what VP of sales even is. What is that? That's just one of those jobs. I mean, people just come up with these names for jobs. That banker. What is that?
She has arms. Middle management. VP of sales. That freaks me out. So Alice was like, yeah, but it's a job, you know? And like, you know, it's like a business, like a businessman, right? You've heard that term, businessman, as if that's any clearer. Businessman is so generic. That's just
Alessandra at this point is just like me. Like the requirements are so low. She's like, it's a job. He's got one. So let's keep it rolling, Sutton. And Sutton's like, Alessandra. She goes, no, you know what? He has a job. And look, you don't need a billionaire, am I right? Everyone says that. She's like, excuse me. Don't curse in my house, whore.
She was like, I could get you a billionaire, but they're crazy. And she's like, excuse me. You don't know what I need. Okay, a billionaire could suit me just fine. She's like, no, you're going to go out with middle management and you're going to have an amazing time.
Okay, so then we go to Kim and Kyle's house and Kim can't get in the front door because it's Kim, you know? Yep. But also I feel like Kyle's like, okay, come over. I've left the front door unlocked, so just come on in. And then you try and open it and it's locked. And you're like, am I doing something wrong?
No, Kyle definitely has put whoopee cushions under Kim's seat many times. So Kim is like, she's like, oh, well, she locked me out. Oh, it's just your sister. Just me out here. It's okay. I just painted a zebra on your door. So they hug. They're like, oh, you're so cute. We're so cute. And Kyle's wearing a necklace that has a hummingbird on it. Kim's like, oh, what's that bird? And Kyle's like, oh, this? Oh, look, it's just diamond and gold. That's it. Like, it's a hummingbird. You know, when my mom passed away, I started having a lot of weird incidences with hummingbirds and that they would always fly around my head and try to peck out my eyes. It's sort of strange, but I felt like it was my mom just telling me to be better.
And she's like, you know, and okay, it's this hummingbird thing. So she's like, I want you to have this because when I bought it, I was like, oh my God, I should get this hummingbird for Kathy. And Kim too, of course. I was like, what kind of story is this to make Kim feel better? You bought this for Kathy, yeah, and now you're making Kim wear it because Kathy won't talk. Like, Kyle is so bad.
Well, then you were wearing it, and then you kept it for yourself, ultimately. Kyle. So let's not overlook Kyle's that part. Son. And then she just is like, she's like, let me do something nice on camera after I've, like, locked my sister out of my house. So she tells a story about how the day after she got into the fight with Kim in the limo, she found a hummingbird laying on her floor, which was supposed to be, like, really sad. And, you know, I can see how that's, like, like, if you have a thing with hummingbirds, like, you see hummingbirds, makes you think of your mom who's passed away. Like, that's definitely emotional. But for some reason, I just thought it was funny, this idea of a hummingbird just languishing on a guy.
I know. I was like, is it dead? Was the hummingbird run over? Like, did the hummingbird?
The hummingbird's dying, and she's like, speak to me, mom. Speak to me. And the hummingbird's like, no, you speak to me. Get me back out into the wilderness. I hate it in here.
Yeah, I've never seen a still hummingbird. Like, on the, I don't know. I've never seen that. I'm sure it happens. It is a weird
vision. I feel like that's an omen. If your kitchen's killing hummingbirds, that's not a beautiful thing. Hummingbirds are so sweet and beautiful. They're not sweet, actually. They're very vicious.
They are?
So we have to each other. So we have a hummingbird feeder. And Dom is like the hummingbird king. Like, he is like Cinderella. He goes out there and they all gather around and they all come to, like, they love him. But recently we have a big ass hummingbird arrived and it keeps shooing away all the other little hummingbirds. And so now there's only one hummingbird and I named him Gil because I feel like that would be the name of a hummingbird that's like, this is my stuff. This is my hummingbird food. So anyway, Gil's an asshole. And it turns out that this is actually not uncommon for hummingbirds. Turns out there are a lot of Gils out there.
Wow. Hummingbirds are real dicks. You know who else are dicks? People who just hum all the time. Humming people are also dicks.
They are.
It's like, shut up.
But you know what?
I don't need to do the sound pollution. Can I concentrate?
Do you know what one of the hummingbird's predators are? This is surprising. People don't realize this. Praying mantises. Praying mantises will eat hummingbirds.
What?
Isn't that shocking?
Those are vicious little fucks, those praying mantises.
I know. I love a praying mantis. I love them. I feel like they're just like on top of business. They are like their mother. They just are like, I don't care. I'm gonna eat a bird.
Wow.
Yeah, there are videos. There's plenty of videos out there of praying mantises that crawl up on the hummingbird feeders, and the hummingbird comes in and the praying mantis just grabs it by the cheek and is just like, you're mine now. So what do you say about that, Kyle Richards?
Those are terrifying little bugs, says praying mantises. And they're just so like...
No, they're helpful. They're wonderful. They eat all the pests.
Yeah, hummingbirds are not pests. Like, I was trying to be mean to hummingbirds just because it's my brand. But like, hummingbirds are nice. They have hums in their names. Although I don't like that they're only nice to you if you feed them sugar. I feel like they're kind of assholes like kids in that way. You know, it's like kids are assholes, right? But then it's like you have candy in your pocket and suddenly they're like, hey, mister. It's like, fuck off, kid. You fucking little user.
Yeah, no, I mean, since they're nice to me, I like hummingbirds, but like, they're just not nice to each other.
Yeah.
They're basically like friend doves on The Real Housewives. They're just like all vying for that top spot.
I just don't understand people with like hummingbird feet. It's like me just putting a pizza out in my front lawn. It's like, of course people are going to stop there, you know? Are those really the kind of people you want in your life?
No.
To just sit there and wait for your fucking
hummingbirds
free
are choosy.
Pizza?
You can put out a feeder and they just will never come.
Really?
Yeah, they're
unlike a roaming bird. Okay, you know what? I'm getting uncomfortable with this.
The point is that one died in Kyle's kitchen.
Kyle poisoned a hummingbird and then stole its necklace, basically, is what's happening. So
she entombed it. She mummified it and turned it into a necklace that she's now given to Kim.
So we are in Sister Trauma, by the way, which we're taking very seriously, everybody. Sorry. So Luke White is who married Kim Richards' daughter. So Kim Richards' daughter, they talk about getting married, her getting married. And Kim was like, he's safe. And I was like, is that the one who married a Rothschild? Didn't one of them marry a Rothschild? But no, she married Nikki Luke did. White, I found out.
Nikki was Rothschild. And Luke White, was he the Fatburger heir?
I don't know. I'm looking at his picture, but there's another Luke White
who's like a music
star or something.
I wish his name were Luke Warm. But there was a scandal, right, with one of Kim's son-in-laws.
I need something more specific to Google, because that's a lot. Okay. You know what? Maybe I don't. Kim Richards' son-in-law scandal.
Well,
maybe that's enough. Kim Richards' daughter, Brooke Holm, is raided by federal.
Charge! That was just Betty and Wilma.
So Kim Richards' daughter, Brooke Holm, raided in December by federal agents investigating her father-in-law, Andrew Wiederhorn, for fraud, money laundering, and tax evasion.
See?
So there you go. So that actually was a perfect Google term, and I'd like to publicly apologize to Ben for dissing his Google suggestion when it was right on the money.
Thank you. Yeah.
So really Whitney's happy with Luke White. And Kyle's like, you know, really, you're not here to talk about your fucking daughter's wedding, which literally nobody cares about. It's just Kathy, pour me, Kathy.
Well, because
she's bullying me.
So Kim asked a really strange question. She's like, so you're coming to the wedding, right? I mean, are you bringing anybody to the wedding? Which is such a weird question to ask. Like, are you bringing, normally you would say, oh, is Mauricio going to come also? Like, or is he off in business? But are you going to bring anybody to the wedding? That was weird. The sisters know something. They know something's up with Kyle.
Yeah. Well, you have to. Kyle's like trying. She's begging to get somebody to answer. I can't believe Kyle was like, what are you suggesting? My husband's cheating on me. I can't believe. But Kim's like, listen, I don't want somebody coming to the wedding who's going to make somebody else uncomfortable at the wedding, meaning Maurizio, who's still in trouble with the family after starting his own real estate company, et cetera, et cetera. Right. I assumed. So Kyle's like, Kathy, I haven't seen Kathy, but obviously, I saw her at the Elton John Oscar thing, but I would always be polite to Kathy. I would always be nice to Kathy. But and
Kim is basically like, yeah, Kim's like, do you think you're maybe wrong in any way? And Kyle's like, well, you don't know everything, right? And Kim's like, I know. So, well, then let's talk about how we can fix it then, since you don't know all the backstory. And we can talk about that another time if you want. Yeah. So and this is Kyle snapping at Kim before then Kyle cries about how Kathy snaps at her. So so then Kyle's like, you know, when Kathy came to my house that day to apologize because of what happened in Aspen. My voice is really killing it today, by the way. I don't have to say it. Really,
you're doing great. I mean, you're really pulling through.
So we see flashbacks to this whole business and everything, and basically Kyle is like, well, I wanted to believe that apology, but then it was her behavior afterwards. And we see Kathy tweeting things like, why is she upset and crying? I'm the one who was bullied and persecuted for 10 months. It's just cruel and disgusting, da 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 da.
Well, also the thing here is Kyle is like, oh my god, I had Kathy over to discuss our problems. Okay, yeah, but you also secretly told Rinna to come to ambush Kathy on camera.
Exactly.
When Kathy had been accused of saying all of this stuff by Rinna, and had Rinna had been leaking this to the press, basically saying Kathy was a racist for an entire season, and Kathy called the F word and did all of this stuff. And then you called Lisa Rinna to come get on Kathy's ass on camera for the season finale or whatever. And stop, Kyle. Right.
Kyle tells
little tiny bits of these stories. And then before, when Kim came over, she's like, oh yeah, well, when Kim and I got in our fight in the back of that limo, and they showed the flashback, and they just show Kyle saying, you shut up, or whatever she said to her crawling over the thing. But they left out, you're a goddamn alcoholic is what you are. And I'm like, you know, I thought Kyle was going to finally get a fair edit this season. But you guys are still fucking working for Kyle. I mean, come on.
Yeah, I think that, like, I think Kyle, you know, I think actually Kyle had a right to be angry at Kathy for Kathy having this tirade. But, like, also, but the fact that, like, she doesn't understand how Kathy could be upset that, like, you know, Kathy was, like, yeah, there were rumors swirling about Kathy for 9 months, 9 or 10 months, and Kyle never said anything to be like, hey, lay off, she's my sister, I love her, we're all good. She just let Kathy kind of hang out there. Now, like you said before, is Kathy an asshole? Most certainly. But, you know, I'm not even going to go back in this. This is all last season. Can't even be bothered to go back into it. So Kyle is now just saying how, like, there's Kim saying how she misses her family. She misses the lunches and the barbecues and fun as a family and yada, yada and everything. And Kim just wants to repair everything. And, you know, Kyle's like, she goes, yeah, but you know what, though, Kathy? She can't have a conversation like this. She gets so mean. I mean, I really can't handle the meanness, like the way she talks. I'm like,
mean.
Why don't we just show that clip we just watched of the way you talked to Kim in the limo, which is not unlike many other ways you've talked to her over the years, barking at her.
Well, and that was also a trip, not the limo, but the one that Kyle's talking about, where Kyle had a fit and started screaming and yelling at Dorit and crying and freaking out that Dorit wasn't standing up for her and, like, wouldn't stop throwing a fit that into. I'm Kyle. She's just such a brat. You know?
Kyle always throws fits, and she always scolds. She always scolds the people that are close to her
because they don't stand up for her enough. So here's the thing. This sister stuff, like, we make jokes and stuff about it, but it is so dark. And anybody who's even read about the Hilton book, the House of Hilton book, which we didn't read the whole thing, but we've read a lot about it. We talked to the Morbid Ladies about it. Was that our bonus episode? We talked to them in depth about all of that stuff.
I think so.
It's just a lot of darkness and horrible stuff. So I thought, you know, Kyle's bullshit aside in the scene, I thought was really what was really interesting was kind of where Kim came, because Kim had a breakdown and she was like, you know, mom was, one of the first times they've ever talked about how difficult their mom was, because they kind of anointed their mom with sainthood. And all the stuff that we read about the mom, Big Kathy, not great stuff. And this is the first time that they seem to really try and come to terms with that with each other on screen. And Kim talks about how much she's realized that she had so much resentment for her mom and so much anger for what her mom put her through as a kid. But then later she realized that her mom was just trying to protect her, and she has a breakdown, and it was actually super touching.
It was emotional. Yeah, I actually got, like, choked up because it was so raw. And I agree with you that there's been, like, oh, mom, she's the best. Which, by the way, like, of course you'd say that. It's your mom. I mean, I know people have fractious relationships with your mothers, but it's not wild that people, you know, a group of sisters would be mourning, you know, their mom. Of course they would be still years later. But when Kim – yeah, it was interesting how Kim – drew this parallel, you know, when she was like, look, mom would never want this to happen. And now I understand more of mom's perspective now that I'm older and I've got my own kids, basically, is what she's saying. And then that goes, like, into her kind of, grappling with this, like, realization that she's been having through her therapy, et cetera, that, like, she was so angry with her mom for so long, but she actually realizes that she just really loves her mom. And she's just like, when she just says, like, I love mom, I was like, it was so, like, simple and sincere and earnest. I was, like, very, very moved by that. It was really sad.
Say
what you will about Kyle, but, like, these three women have been really traumatized by whatever was happening in this family. And, you know, it's moments like this where I say, like, oh, I do kind of feel bad for all three of them.
And Kim's crying, and she's like, I mean, I didn't, because she says, I know you love mom. And Kim's like, well, I didn't realize how angry I was. And do you think she knew I loved her? And that was really, God, it's so hard, you know? So then they start talking about Kathy, and she's like, well, you just work it out with Kathy. And Kyle's like, does she want to? And she's like, she wants to know if you want to, you know? So you guys.
She's basically like, you guys have to stop saying, does she want to? Does she want to? You both just have to do it. Like, stop it, you know?
All right, so then we go to Crystal's house, prepping Cedar dinner with Rob and
Seder. Yeah, and no, it's okay.
Not Seder.
This is like, as a Jewish person, I cannot sit here while you say Cedar. So Crystal was like, so she's putting out making this whole nice dinner, and Rob's Rob, I feel like it's like a fake Passover. I think it's like a Passover for TV. So they have like a little Passover ceremony with the kids. And Crystal talks about how like Jewish culture and Chinese culture are so similar and they love celebrating each other's like culture and religions, yada, yada. And then the daughter's like, can we have Ben and Jerry's? And Crystal's like, you can pick dessert or TV. Which one do you want? So they're like, TV. But I'm like, if this were real Passover, you should be able to get dessert and TV. Excuse me. Like, why would you, I'm saying this, I understand the context of Crystal and what she struggles with, but like, why would you, on a night of celebration, why would you make a child choose between dessert and or TV? Like, why can't you have both?
Celebration was, in life.
Well, that's why I thought it was life. Not real Passover.
It's not real life. That is a Sophie's choice. TV or dessert? Don't ever give me that. I'll say kill my child. Take the child. Take the fucking
child. there's my that's choice. Why I didn't think it was real Passover, because I feel like I'm real Passover. She would have let them have both. It's my really important conspiracy theory of the day.
So she's like, all right, Rob, so Taco Tuesday, the ladies keep coming at me like, you don't engage, you let me go. I'm just kidding. So she's...
No, you do it, Dorinda. I'll do as Luann. We'll just trade off on our crystal voices.
No, because it's actually a serious scene.
You can pick dessert or you can pick TV or my choice, cabaret.
You can pick TV, dessert, or
fish gotta swim, birds gotta fly. You know what? Jewish culture and Chinese culture were actually like very much the same, okay? You know, in my culture, I'm ageless, and in Rob's culture, he's just a strange man with a thing on his head, okay?
You know what? Jewish culture and Chinese culture are the same. They're both mean to me, okay?
You know what? When I was a teenager and I moved to New York, I wanted to be both Jewish and Chinese, and they wouldn't let me, okay? So I'm the real victim here. You want to talk about microaggressions? I'm the one who's most microaggressed, okay?
Okay, so serious mode. This is a very serious episode. We're laughing a lot in a very serious episode, but you know what? That's how I deal, okay? So back off.
We have to. If we don't laugh, we cry. Serious stuff.
So this one's serious because it's an eating disorder discussion, kind of. So she's basically...
I thought it was actually pretty interesting.
Well, I'm not saying it was boring. I'm just saying it was serious.
Saying you weren't saying it. I was weighing in. I decided I just wanted to say something, okay? And you know what? You shut me down. I'm sorry, okay?
So basically, she's like, you know, Taco Tuesday, they're telling me I don't engage, I don't speak up. And then we see a clip that was shown in flashback for some reason, but wasn't shown in the original episode. And Garcelle is telling her, you need to speak up in this group. And she's like, why do I have to like point and scream? Like, why can't I just speak with a soft voice and people just listen to me? And she's like, well, you don't have to do, who told you to scream? And she's like, this group wants me to scream all the fucking time. Which was a lot from Crystal.
Right. So, but I mean, it's true. Like, it's not like we necessarily need her to scream, but she feels like more like a friend of, like, I feel like she's just not weighing in or getting into the mix. And so, but then we get some insight into that. And she says that she can't focus sometimes because everyone has gotten really skinny because of like the whole Ozempic thing that has come through the cast. And she's just comparing herself to everyone and looking at everyone's bodies. And she's comparing herself and she's just feeling really self-conscious and she sort of can't step out of it, which I thought that was really interesting. And I think that actually makes a lot of sense. Not that it was like up for debate whether or not it made sense, but I was like, wow, it's not something I ever thought about. And it really showed the depths to which an ED can really, you know, permeate so much of your life.
Yeah. And just kind of the lens, you're always looking through that lens, I guess, when you're eating disordered. It was interesting. It sucks also because you live in LA and you're in the movie industry. So it's like,
yeah,
that's a lot coming at her. And she talks about how LA is a city obsessed with beauty and bodies. And she works really hard to feel comfortable in groups that she's in. And she's finally started to feel more relaxed, but now she's having this extreme distraction. And obviously, look, my opinion is, like, I do take weight loss medications. They've really helped me. So, and I am eating disordered. So I come from that. So a lot of it's kind of a mind fuck watching it, because also I'm coming from a lens of eating disordered thoughts. So part of me is like, well, that's not fair. And so I'm starting to get defensive just watching the scene. I don't know, this episode was just a fucking mindfuck. But what can I say?
But I think it's interesting because I can imagine, like, I've definitely had parts, moments, like an example of, like, how, you know, imagine, like, going to a party and you're wearing a shirt that's just, like, not right. You see yourself, you put it on before you go, and then you go and you wear it and you catch yourself in the mirror at the party and you hate the way you look in it, and it just makes you really self-conscious. And, like, I've had those moments, and I have found that, like, they have preoccupied me. I'm not comparing, like, my experience to, you know, etc. I'm just saying, like, it makes a lot of sense when she says she feels self-conscious around these women, because I can see it. I can understand that experience on such a minor level with, like, oh God, I hate the way I look in this. Now I'm like trying to be social, but I'm like thinking about how bad I look in terms of, like, what I wore or something like that. And she's experiencing it on a big level of, like, I feel bad about, like, my body right now compared to the other people, and I'm on TV. So,
well, it's basically, like, you're surrounded by people who are telling you, open up about your eating issues and be okay with yourself, and you're great the way you are, while they're obsessed with being the opposite of what they're telling you to be comfortable with. I think that's kind of the main thing, you know? It's like, be comfortable with yourself, but I don't want to look like you. And I think that that's like an eating disordered way of thinking, where you're like, oh my God, if anybody is losing any weight or making extreme effort, it's only to be thin so they don't look like my greatest fear. But it's, you know, everybody's on their own journey, and it's really hard to separate yourself when you do have disordered thinking to remember that it's not all about you, you know? And I'm not speaking for her, I'm speaking for myself, because a lot of those thoughts are natural to come up, and it's like, well, you know, it doesn't have anything to do with you or how you fucking look. But then I think the same thing, you know, if someone's like, well, I felt so fat. And it's like, well, that person is like a quarter of the size of me. So then what do they think about? It's just a mind fuck, I guess is what I'm saying. Yeah. The whole thing is a mind fuck. So I would imagine it would be really, really hard to be her or be anybody on TV talking about, because we're going to see it with Jackie this season on Real Housewives of New Jersey too, from what I've read in the gossip. Where she's suffering from she suffers from anorexia, right? But it's still an eating disorder, and she has to come to terms with that when everybody around her is like getting really skinny on these weight loss drugs. Yeah. And it's got to be a mind fuck. It really does.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, so let's see. We've done microaggression.
This has just been a real fun episode, I'll tell you.
Generational trauma. Okay. Anyway, that's the show goes on, and now
while we're talking, by the way, an eating disorder scene. While we're talking about a day based on a taco. Okay.
And then they talk about Jeff. And Crystal basically is like, she basically says that she was always Jeff's little sister. And then when she got married, she became like almost like a mother figure to her brother, and yada, yada. So some more insight into a situation we don't care about. Okay. So then we now go to Sutton going on her second blonde date. And she's meeting up with a guy named Steve. And Steve, by the way, a hot silver fox, if I would say officially a hot. I feel like this is one of the hottest guys that have been put on one of these sham dates on these shows.
I don't trust Steve for a goddamn second. Hotness aside, I don't care if he's hot.
VP of sales.
I don't trust him because he does this with his eyes. He makes big, wide, innocent eyes and like blinks like that, like little doe eyes. And I just, you're a fucking liar and a sneak. Okay, I'm on.
Well, he's hot, so therefore he shouldn't be trusted. He shouldn't be trusted. He's too hot to be trusted. And he lives in LA. So, but I just was happy. I was happy that Alessandra gave Sutton a hot guy.
Yeah.
So they, you know, they have this date and everything, and Sutton clearly likes the way this guy looks, and he's like, you look great, by the way. I thought he was going to have a different personality. He was a little more, he was actually more bubbly than I was expecting, right? I thought he was going to be like, really like a man of few words.
Well, but the words he did speak are douchebag 101 words.
You look great, by the way. Hey,
you look great.
Like Carl.
Oh, I'll put your weight up there.
Oh, no. Very bad.
Oh, wait. No, this is a good day for me to do Carl. Let's do more Carl. Yeah. Hey, son. You look really great right now. I'll put your weight on me. Huh, well, by the way, you look really great. Yeah. I'm just like a, I just have a kindergarten crush on you right now.
It's like Carl 8.0 today.
So. Yeah.
So Sutton's like, oh, well, thank you. So do you. Block your blazer belt penis. Whoa. Damn it, Alessandra.
So they order like some food and everything, and she's and he's like, so can I ask you a question? What do you look for in a potential partner? Like, what are some of the qualities, like, besides being dashingly handsome or something like that? You look great, by the way. Yeah.
She's like, oh, because you're saying that you're, getting no humor at all. This guy is like, the charm is wasted, which I kind of like, because that's like his offense, the charm, and it's kind of,
yeah,
the humor's wasted on set, and she doesn't really get it. Oh, I like when he's like, what do you want to order? She's, I don't really care, I just don't like meat or chicken or anything, really. I don't like anything.
I just want some mush, please. So he's like, so I think I saw that you play tennis, and she goes, right. And do you listen to podcasts? Because I don't want to talk about tennis. And he's like, yeah, I like true crime. She goes, me too. I like the murder mystery ones. So they're off to a great start.
And he's like, I played a dead guy once. She's like, oh, those are instruments now? What do you mean? I'm like, oh, God, he's an actor. He's an actor VP of sales? No. Run! Do not trust he's this. Like, I would go to sell the mommy lever over this guy. So, but
he's an extra on Law and Order, basically. That's what he's saying.
So, he loves karaoke, and she is won over. She's like, let me see your list. And he has one. He has an iPhone notes list of all of his karaoke songs. And she goes, I don't know this song.
Wow.
Nookie.
Boy. Now that's the red flag right there. I'm afraid to say. Not for her, for him.
That she doesn't know the song.
No, I meant that, like, I meant to say that, like, Nookie, liking, having Nookie as your karaoke song is the red flag.
Wow.
Not that she's a red flag for not knowing it. Just want to clarify to make sure no one's offended on the Limp Bizkit front.
I think we've gotten those people. Anybody offended is gone by now. Okay, they're gone. So the date continues. Let's see here. So now they're switching numbers, and he's like, she gives him the number, and then he calls it. She's like, oh, are you just making sure I didn't give you the wrong number? He's like, well, it didn't ring or anything. She goes, it did. Sorry. Avi, you got that right. Avi's under the table. She's like, you got that right, stupid. Avi got it. You two are going to be very happy together. Singing your Nookie. Disgusting.
Let me look up these lyrics. I did it all for the Nookie. I still don't understand this song. So now Dorit and Garcelle meet up at the Oaks at the lakeside. If I remember correctly, this was... We've seen a few shows here. I seem to, for some reason, this is sad that this is where my mind goes. I seem to remember in the final season of Shaw's of Sunset that Nima went on a date here, and then the lesbian lady was sitting at another table coaching him with like an earpiece.
Oh, God. Oh, God. That's just.
So that just sets the tone.
That was like uncovered trauma. That was like buried trauma. I was like, whatever, Nima, whatever this restaurant, I don't care, whatever. Whoa! I remember that lady.
That lady, I forgot her name.
Who is she related to? Like a famous tennis?
Rosie O'Donnell.
Famous tennis players? Oh, no, she loved
was
tennis,
she? Though.
Okay, it doesn't matter. That show's over, rightfully. Okay, so, sorry. Sorry, everybody, from that show. So, Garcelle, it's awkward, right? They're just staring at each other, right, both waiting for the other person to apologize. And Dorit's doing that thing where she just squints at somebody and waits for them, like, let's see how you get through this one. She's just like leaning up against an imaginary plate of glass, staring at her own reflection.
She's at stage one Dorit, because stage two Dorit is when she does slow-mo water flicking. She's like, you keep saying these things to me all the time. Slow-mo water flick, left, then right, then left, then right, maybe both together.
These things that you're accusing.
Little jabs. Slow-mo, but that's stage two. Stage one, she's just squinting.
Okay, so she's doing the squint and the lip puff out thing, and Garcelle's like, huh, it's a little awkward. What?
Well, I know. Do you want to look at the menu?
Like, well, no, not really. Okay, well, okay, sure. And so they just open their menu.
Free meal is a free meal.
They really just open those menus and just start staring.
And we see the full experience. Yeah. We watch them look at the menu, pick out their salads, and then so then they close the menus. And Reed's like, to be honest with you, the food is secondary to me right now. What's primarily on my mind is why PK is standing there in the corner with the band Berlin. He really goes everywhere with them. Ladies and gentlemen, Berlin. PK, I told you not for this scene. This is a serious scene.
So, he's like, what are you going to have?
I think I'm going to do the Greek salad. I'm a woman of the world.
It's like, okay. Well, that's good.
Am I allowed to say Greek? So Dorit is like, so yes, I want to leave the floor to you because I know that you've said that you don't feel like I hear you, and I really want to make sure that you speak and it looks like I'm listening to you. Go on.
I want to make sure that not only do I hear you, but the audience sees me squinting and nodding like I'm hearing you. Do you understand?
Well, I appreciate that. So I would like to go first. And Dorit's like, well, we're both on the same page. Yes, you can stop interrupting me as I try to take the floor.
Well, we are totally in agreement about that.
Yes, so I'll start this.
Absolutely, I would love for you to start this.
All right, I'm going to need you to stop saying things after I say things. That way I can officially start it.
Whatever you need, I am here for you, aye, aye, Captain.
I hear
you. So she's like, well, here's how I feel deep in my heart. Would you guys like to put in your order? She's like,
the waiter just goes, we see the waiter walking over, we're like, stop, go away, turn around.
Let me ask you a question. Was that an attack? The waiter, with the waiter.
So Garcelle's like, okay, listen, the other night was tough on me. And the other night, the word attack just hit me in the wrong place. And so then we see the clip of that. And she's like, okay, look, you know, there are certain words, when you point them at me, it just has a completely different impact. And you really have to know who you're dealing with, Dorit. And there are words you don't say to Black women. You don't say aggressive. You don't say attack. You don't say angry, because that's labeling us. And I'm not here to educate you, because that's not my job. And I don't have the bandwidth. But I feel like you need to be aware of who you're talking to. How much clearer can you get? I mean, I read that pretty much word for word, because it's pretty clear. Don't you
think? It's clear. And she says, I'm not here to educate you, but she gave like a little mini lesson there. So Dorit had a free one there. And, you know, when we saw this, something similar to this happen 2 years ago with Kyle Richards, Kyle was like, got it. Didn't realize. Kyle was smart. Kyle had that was a really strong moment for Kyle in terms of like that. She didn't do what Dorit basically does here. Not that we should necessarily be like, oh my God, she's a hero for doing like the simplest, bravest, like simplest thing. She doesn't become like a hero for that. But like, you see how like it goes so left when Dorit does it. And Dorit is like, okay, well, when we use the word, when we use the A word, you know, you've heard it hundreds of times in this group. And then we see a montage of everyone saying attack, 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 attack. And Garcelle's like, but towards me? And she goes, well, I'm not exactly sure what the intent was or who said it to who.
And she's like, but was it towards me? Because Dorit's completely missing the point, which is that it's not the word. It's escalating something that was nothing into being an attack. You know what I mean? Yeah. And not knowing your fucking audience. So Dorit's like, well, I don't know what the intent was, but it's ever been, I don't know what it's been towards you. I don't know. I don't take notice, because that's exactly what the other night was. It was innocent. And my intention, listen, if I offended you in any way, I'm like, oh my God, now you're going to do the listen if I offended you, for fuck's sake.
I know. And she's like, oh, it has. That's why we're here, and that's why I reacted the way I reacted. I mean, I was emotional for 2 days. I went to bed crying. I woke up crying. I drove to the beach because I couldn't figure out why I was so triggered by that, but I was absolutely triggered by it. She's basically saying, like, yeah, I was, like, really upset by this. And Dorit's like, do you believe that I said that with a bad intention? Why are you... Dorit, what? Like, see, Dorit is now... Dorit is now... being the, like, I'm the victim here. Like, I can't believe you would accuse me of being this way. It's like, no, it's just, she's saying, be mindful of your words when you're talking to me. You have to be smarter about the words you choose, because if you're not smart, you do things that you trigger me. But Dorit takes it as, like, you're accusing me of being a racist right now. That's where she's going with this.
Right. But I like that Garcelle was like, because she goes, you believe I said that with bad intent? She goes, yes. And she goes, but why else would you say it? You know, she goes, we've never heard the word a dick before. And she's saying, I'm talking about you and me, Dorit. And she goes, I know what you're saying, but why would I say it? I mean, I feel like there's something. Listen, I want to listen to what you have to say, but I also feel like I need to be able to defend myself against this utter slaughter of fist words. So, if you haven't finished, I want you to get it all out. Are you done? Have you finished? I'm like, oh my God,
it's really creating a nice safe space for discussion.
And she just makes it worse, you know? And she's like, listen, the things you're saying right now are not only wrong, but they're incredibly... And Garcelle's like, this is what I'm talking about, you know? So she just tells her, listen, I feel like there's a pattern with you. I don't know if you're aware of it, but I'm just going to be completely blunt. It feels like unconscious Karen behavior. And then Dorit's like, oh, this is so serious.
It's a dangerous, dangerous accusation. It's hurtful. And that accusation holds a lot of implications. And I'm not feeling comfortable with any of this.
Police.
But like, what does Dorit not understand? She's like, that has so many implications. Well, what do you think saying that Garcelle attacked you? What implications? Like, so the implications are only for you? Like, implications only happen one way? That's the whole point, is that people say certain words that are triggering for different groups, and like, because they come with their own implications, and you are now feeling that.
So this editing. So she goes, I mean, it's not even like editing genius. It's just reminding you of who Dorit is in case anybody forgot. So she goes, I mean, the implications, I'm just not comfortable with it. And Garcelle's like, okay, but 2 years ago, we were talking about people of color, and then we flash back to 2020, wow. And Dorit going, well, we've had a lot of people work for us that are very multicultural. I've had a lot of Black and Hispanic and Filipino. That's how you pronounce it when you're from Mykonos. I'm from the world. And she's
people
like, wait a minute.
The country of Africa.
Are the brown people only the help at your house? And she's no! My mother's best friend is Black.
And also her maid. So it's not help in my house, it's help in my mother's house. Don't you understand? It's a united color of Benetton.
So Garcelle's like, well, has there been growth since the last time that you said people of color worked for you? And she's like, oh God, why are you raising that again? And she goes, because it feels like there's something. She goes, what does it feel like? And she's like, I don't know. She goes, that I'm racist. And she goes, oh my God, I'm not labeling you. I'm not labeling you. But there's an implication here. Dorit, the implication is that you are an ignoramus who doesn't fucking listen or learn their lesson. Okay? Yeah. I don't think anyone's accusing you of being a cross-burning on the front lawn racist, but they are accusing you of being extremely ignorant and racially insensitive and refusing to learn your lesson, which at this point is starting to feel a little more pointed than just like, oh, I'm just a dummy who didn't know. At this point, you do know, and then you're fucking rubbing it into the ground that you're still right. Why?
Yeah, and Garcelle's like, well, if there's a racist undertone, that's not my fault. I'm not calling you anything. And she goes, well, it is simply about me using a word that's triggered you, and if that's what this is about, then I'm apologizing. But it sounds like there's something more. I mean, do you realize I'm Jewish, Garcelle?
Oh, my
God. And Garcelle's like, what does that have to do with anything?
Which I loved. She's like, what?
She goes, Well, you reduced me to privilege that night. She goes, well, you don't have a privileged life, Dorit. She goes, no, we all have a privileged life in this group. So do you. But I know your intent. Dorit, she doesn't mean like literal privilege in terms of being wealthy. It's the privilege of the way people treat you. The privilege of like lack of suspicion when a cop pulls you over, etc. Like why does she, it's like she literally learned nothing over the past 3 years.
So basically, Garcelle's like, oh my God, you're a woman of the world. How do you still not understand that being in my shoes is different than being in your shoes?
Well, I'm sorry I've got my shoes. Sorry.
I most certainly understand that.
Well, I suppose, and I've you never suppose is the racist here, really, at the end of the day. Sorry.
Oh, do you mind if I try those shoes on? I'm supposed to be doing that these days. Sorry to interrupt. So, Dorit's like, what I'm trying to say is we both are from marginalized communities and that we should have some common ground far more than differences. Because it does seem like that you're trying to, I'm not trying to do anything. It's like, but it doesn't feel that way. Yeah, well, we should have common ground. You're right. Yeah, marginalized communities should. But, like, you have to actually, like, listen to find out. But you can only find common ground if you're listening to the other people and you can understand what people are going through, and that's where you find the common ground. But the moment that someone explains their experience.
Garcil!
Why do you say my name so much?
Garcil. Garcil.
Garcil.
She's like, why do you keep saying my name? She goes, it's what I do. Is that going to trigger you? Okay, I will not say your name. And you're like, no, I'm not. She's really just digging this grave. So Garcelle's like, no, listen, the point isn't to make you walk on eggshells. And she's like, but you are. And you are making me feel that way. And I'm telling you, you're making me feel something. And, you know, and Garcelle's like, listen, I guess you've just been getting under my skin. And the last straw was you saying that I attacked you, okay? So I don't know how we're going to move forward, but I don't hate you. I just feel like I need to say that what happened the other day really made me feel triggered. And she's like, well, I'm sorry you're triggered and it hurt you. And I mean that genuinely. And next time I see you, I'll be wearing flip-flops.
Well, I believe that. And I just think the choice of words was horrible. She goes, well, I appreciate you saying that. I appreciate you saying you believe that. And the Dorit tells us, this was a learning lesson for me. I was unaware. And, you know, I know now I need to be more aware of what I'm saying and who I'm saying it to. And the lesson that I've taken away from this is, I have to be very careful when I'm around Garcelle. I should never go to Encino again. That was the lesson, right? Is that the lesson?
I mean, yeah, I would... I just, by the end, you're just,
I don't think, you do? I don't think it's just, a, it's just anything.
Gigantic. Well, when she posts like proudly living in my bubble the week that episode aired, no, you know, so that's that one.
Well, a barrel of laughs. And then it turns out that Dorit was actually Perez Hilton. And I was like, okay, well, I did not see that coming.
Dorit, woman of the world. All right, everybody. Well, thank you so much for being with us here. Thanks to everybody on Crappens On Demand. Hi. And we'll be back with a ton of other stuff later this week. Go check out Dwell Hello and our bonus episodes. And we will talk to you next time.
Bye. Bye.
Watch What Crappens would like to thank its premium sponsors.
Ain't no thing like Allison King.
Ashley Savoni, she don't take no baloney.
Stroll in the Park with Caitlin Clark.
She's not just a Sheila, she's a Daniela.
Itchels.
Erin McNicholas, she don't miss no trickolas.
She's never scary, it's the Green Fairy.
Jamie, she has no last namey.
Hava Nagila Weber.
Know Your Worth with Jason Kurth.
She's the wind beneath our Jennifer Wing.
Sip some scotch with Jessica Trott.
She's always supplying, it's Kelly Ryan.
Kristen the Piston Anderson.
Let's give a kisserino to Lisa Lino.
Megan Berg, you can't have a burger without the Berg.
The Bay Area Betches, Betches.
And our super premium sponsors.
Somebody get us 10 cc's of Betsy MD.
We're taking the gold with Brenda Silva.
Let's get real with Caitlin O'Neill.
Don't get salty with Christine Pepper.
Can't have a meal without the Emily Sides.
Nobody holds a candle to Jamie Kendall.
She's not harsh, she's Jill Hirsch.
She's a little bit loony,
Junie.
My favorite Murdo, Karen McMurdo. We love him madly, it's Kyle Pod Chadley.
Let's go on a bender with Lauren Fender. We want to hang with Liz Lang. The incredible edible Matthews sisters.
Give him hell, Miss Noel.
She's the queen bee, it's Sarah Lemke.
Shannon, out of a cannon, Anthony.
Let's take off with Tamla Plain.
She's quite the catch, it's Victoria Kachet.
She ain't no shrinkin' Violet Kuchar. We love you guys.
Hey, Prime members, you can listen to Watch What Crappens ad-free on Amazon Music. Download the Amazon Music app today. Or you can listen ad-free with Wondery Plus in Apple Podcasts. Before you go, tell us about yourself by completing a short survey at wondery.com/survey.